Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Under the Stained Glass, the podcast where we take a look at what we talked about last week in church and approach it again from a family angle. I'm Pastor Chris here at Magnolia Park United Methodist Church in Burbank, and I'm here with our youth and children's and families director, Ms. Whitney.
Hi, everyone.
And this week we were continuing this series, Forgive for to Get, just talking about how important it is for us to forgive so we can get the blessings right that God really has in store for us. And we were looking at this awesome passage in Luke chapter 17, which I think is just so cool, where Jesus is talking to his disciples about how things come up that will dissuade people from their faith, that will cause them, as he says, cause them to stumble. But he says, woe to those persons through whom those things come. And he's saying this as a warning to his disciples that, you know, as cool as it is to be apostles of Jesus and to have at this point some of the power that Jesus has, they have this responsibility to other believers to be sure that they don't stumble in their faith because of anything that the apostles might do.
Yeah, they have a big responsibility here because, sure, they've been following Jesus around and learning from him. And you know, like you said, they're starting to do really, really great things in Jesus' name. They're kind of possessing that power that God gives us all, as we know, through the Holy Spirit, but also, you know, to these special apostles.
Right.
But yeah, there is a bigger responsibility there. And there's a big responsibility for them and us as believers to really watch our faith and to watch where it can stumble and we can fall short.
Yeah, and the example that we're setting for other people, because, you know, whether we think about it much or not, people know that we're Christians. Right. So it's really important to do our best to be that, to act the part, right? To actually live a life that reflects well on Jesus. Well, his warning is so dire. He says that it would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones or one of these believers to stumble. So he says, watch yourselves. But then he goes into this little speech about how they need to forgive other people. That's the example they need to be setting. He says, even if they, if anyone, sins against you seven times in a day and seven times comes back at saying, I repent, you must forgive them. And when the apostles hear that, they say, oh, Lord, increase our faith. Right. It's like everything that they've done up to that point, this is the toughest thing that Jesus, in their mind, has asked them to do. To be forgiving all the time. And they're like, oh, increase our faith. You know?
It's interesting because I think that as Jesus is leading them into this kind of secondary part of his, what he's teaching them in this moment, the disciples are probably thinking, you know, what ways can I make somebody stumble in what I do? You know, it has to be something really terrible. And then he starts to talk about forgiveness. And Jesus knows that this is a big stumbling block for us, but it might have just caught them off guard. You know, they might have thought something really terrible was happening that other people are seeing in them, but it's unforgiveness that is really one of the hardest things that we all have to deal with. And to have to forgive people, like Jesus says, seven times a day. So saying, don't count it, just do it as much as you need to complete this circle of forgiveness with others and to lessen that load on yourself is just, it's funny because it's probably not the first thing that we think about, this terrible thing that we could be doing is unforgiveness. But it really is. It's a really a stark warning from Jesus that everything else can fall out of place if you can't forgive.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly. In the sermon, I was talking about that. The first thing that comes to my mind are the big, you know, headline sins that big religious leaders do that really do damage people's faith. But on an everyday level, you know, just being unforgiving, having a hard heart, not modeling the love of Jesus, those little things that we sort of maybe take for granted or just forget about or think, oh, well, you know, it's not that big a deal. It's a big deal. That those are the things that Jesus is talking about.
And isn't that humbling for all of us? Because, sure, we can probably stay out of the big scandals. We're good at that, most of us at least. But all of us struggle with this. All of us have to face this choice of, am I going to forgive somebody? And it's hard. It's a difficult choice to make because we need to account for that pain, that whatever we've gone through, maybe it's been years that have had a consequence of this unforgiveness or of the hurt that has been caused. So yeah, it's humbling to know like this is one of the biggest stumbling blocks we can have. And it's something that all of us struggle with.
Yeah, it should really bring us up short because it is easy to sit back and read the papers and say, oh man, look at that guy.
Right.
You know, look at that lady, you know, what they're doing. But Jesus is saying, you know, we should all be watching out as we live our faith. Be watching out for these little things that really can cause people to stumble, especially our own children, I think.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about our families. It's really important to be living out that faith and just to watch out, to be careful about how we're living and whether or not that's encouraging or dissuading people from their faith.
And really what we're teaching them, because at such a young age, we want to teach them to have voices for themselves and to not let other people hurt them, because we want to save them from those things. We want to save them from being walked all over or being hurt and that pain that comes along with it. But really, what are we teaching them when we can't forgive and when we're showing them that forgiveness is not something that we value in our lives, because maybe we see it as something that doesn't bring us to where we want to be. It doesn't make us stronger, when it really does. But so often kids see that when we don't forgive, they see that maybe that's the way that they should live as well.
Yeah. And also, I mean, and this is kind of like the other side of it, when we're modeling a forgiveness that's not really proper, that's not really right. And what I mean by that is Jesus says here, you know, if someone comes to you and says, I repent, you must forgive them.
Right.
And that's true. But when Jesus says, assuming that someone's repenting, we're assuming that there really is repentance there, meaning that there really is a change. Because also we don't want to model for people, especially our kids, the sort of codependent sort of cycle of injury, and then an apology, and then a forgiveness, and then the same injury over and over and over again.
Right.
So there does become this issue of forgiveness does not necessarily mean reconciliation or setting ourselves up to be injured in the same way over and over and over again.
Certainly. I don't think that forgiveness and reconciliation can or have to go hand in hand all the time. I think that they're two separate issues. And I think that when we talk about forgiveness with our kids and then we talk about reconciliation, those have to be addressed in separate conversations.
Yeah.
Because forgiveness is a command, as we've said. Mm-hmm. So we must forgive, but that does not mean that the injury needs to happen over and over and over because we've forgiven. You're right. There's boundaries there that have to be set in order for someone to move beyond that hurt. Because if you're forgiving, that's supposed to be healing you. It's supposed to be bringing peace to you, bringing that load off. But if you're continuing to have that hurt, nothing is changing there. And so forgiveness is a command, and it's something that happens in our relationship with God, and it's something that happens in our heart. But in order to really heal in that moment, you have to have a boundary that says, I can reconcile to the point that this person is willing to change.
Yeah.
And if they're not willing to change, maybe reconciliation is not something that can happen at this moment. It might not be something that can happen at all or to a complete measure. Perhaps it's just partial reconciliation. Maybe that door isn't completely open to that person next time, and that's okay. But they are two separate issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as you were talking, it's kind of like that's not our decision to make. It's our decision to make ultimately, but we need to surrender that reconciliation, if and when it happens, to God in the same way that we need to surrender in forgiveness the anger that we feel, the rage we feel about the injury, whatever those things are.
Yeah.
That's where forgiveness really happens. It happens in the surrender of our desire to get revenge or to hang on to that resentment. We give that over to God so that we can find peace and we can find freedom from that injury and from that event. But at the same time, we need to surrender the decision of when to reconcile, because again, repentance, especially when Jesus talks about repentance, it's always about turning around and going completely the other way.
Right.
So we can see that in a person.
Right. And as you were saying that, I was just thinking about how it's not about, and reconciliation should never be about holding on to anger and then reconciling if it works out for both of you, and reconciling that anger at that moment. That anger should be gone with the forgiveness.
Right.
The anger should be healing at that moment. It might not be fully healed, but you're on that path with the forgiveness. So the reconciliation is the boundaries you set, that relationship mm-hmm. after that. And relationships can't always be healed. And
right.
and God's going to be the one that's going to help you, guide you through that, and help you see whether or not you need to heal that relationship at this time, mm-hmm. whether or not that's constructive for you, or maybe it's not. And God's okay with that. He's never told us that, never commanded us that we have to have certain relationships with certain people. He's just asking us to love them, and in loving them and in loving him, we forgive. But it doesn't mean that we have to have a specific relationship with that person again.
Yeah. You know, before we came on, you were talking about there are certain people that you've reconciled with having just a phone call relationship.
Yeah.
So they're not close enough to continue to do the kind of damage as they work on themselves. And as you heal, or as we heal ourselves, but you can have that phone call relationship. We can always have a prayer relationship too.
Right.
In fact, that is a command, that even those people that maybe we can't reconcile with because the injury is too deep, and right now it's not the time, we continue to pray through that the same way we pray to get to the point of being able to actually forgive and let God have the consequences and do the judging instead of us. We can continue to pray for the best for that person. And maybe one day there will be reconciliation, but that's something that we can just see.
Right.
Might happen, might not happen.
Right. Yeah. In my family growing up, I was always really lucky that there was never forced relationships and forced reconciliation, complete reconciliation in the relationships that we had, especially when we were very hurt by others. We were always allowed to feel out that relationship and to figure out whether or not that was the right thing to do. And so we've always established it's okay to have a phone call relationship. It's okay to have an open door relationship, whatever that is that relationship needs to help you to continue to grow and to continue to be in peace, that's okay. And we've had to have these relationships with a certain number of people in our lives, and that's fine. And it really does help, because it always meant that we have to love them enough to not we could have no contact with somebody, that's okay. But to still think about them, mm-hmm. to not wish them ill.
Right.
And that prayer, that's where that prayer relationship kind of comes in. You have to remember that you're not doing this because you hate them. You don't wish them any harm, but that lovingly we need to either walk away or close that door a little bit, or mm-hmm. maybe open it again at some point. But that we always had that choice, but it had to be in love that we made that decision, and it had to be that there was always a part of us that was trying to heal and trying to see that person in a better light. And so it's been really helpful, because yeah. it has helped me to also start to pray for others and start to love them in that way, and hope that perhaps they can find a place that's really good for them, and then maybe one day we will reconcile. So I've always been hopeful in those times where I've had to have those different sort of relationships with people. But yeah, it's very freeing and very awesome to know that when we love people, we don't always have to let them continue to come back into mm-hmm. our lives in the same way.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why this is just so difficult, because it really is one of the most tender and challenging acts of faith that we can have in our lives, to really give over right. our pain
mm-hmm.
that is, you know, we own that.
Yeah.
Our pain and also our anger. Mm-hmm. These are things that we own when they are caused in us. And sometimes we hang on to those almost as if we feel like that's our way of getting back at somebody else, is we're going to be so angry and we're going to be so resentful. Right. Somebody once said that hanging on to that kind of resentment is like taking poison mm-hmm. and expecting the other person to die.
Right.
You know,
right.
We do that, but we really relinquish that and relinquish our desire to be in control of the retribution mm-hmm. is a great act of faith. Mm-hmm. To give that over to God, something that's so intimate to us,
right.
Our own pain. And that's why the disciples say, I think when he says this, they say, Lord, increase our faith. But then Jesus just says the most beautiful thing. He replies in Luke in chapter 6, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Mm-hmm. In other words, you have the faith. You have the faith to do like impossible things, even forgiving people.
Right. The most impossible.
I've given you enough faith. You've got it. All you really need to do is make a decision to live and act on that faith. And then God will also backfill with more power.
Yeah.
You know? But we need to act on the faith that he's given us to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we're so glad that you are here with us today. And we hope that you will continue to join us each week as we begin this new year. And we hope you'll be with us again next week for Under the Stained Glass.
All right. Bye.
Bye.